I'm going to hand it over to Alex. We're going to have a twofold devotional tonight. He's going to do the first part. He's first going to introduce the hymn, and then straight after that, he's going to do his little devotional.
And then I'm going to tell you what it means and things.
Yeah, and it was actually lovely because this morning he said to me, Dad, he also wants to do it. And so I thought it was going to be fantastic if you can get involved. And then I'll do a concluding devotional, and then we'll have a closing hymn. So without further ado, Alex, I'm going to hand it over to you.
What I wanted to do is, it's quite long, but it will be about 10 minutes or so. I wanted to tell you a story about getting ready for Christ. And I'm going to tell you a parable that Jesus told on the Mount of Olives when he walked out of the temple and across the valley and onto Jesus' favorite mountain, the Mount of Olives, after when he told it that, I think it is, that after he told that there won't be any stones upon the temple again, and all the things that's going to happen, he told them a parable of 10 bridesmaids. And he said one day, like, they saw, parables is like, sometimes when they, like, see things and then they tell stories about them that's made up. And this was one of them, about 10 bridesmaids. There was these 10 bridesmaids waiting for the bridegroom to come. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 who were wise had extra oil on their sides. And then they didn't know, but they went, and the bridegroom came so late, like around midnight, and they became drowsy and fell asleep. And then the bridegroom came, and all of the 10 bridesmaids woke up by a shout, "The bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him." And then they woke up, and the 5 foolish realized that their lamps were running out. So they begged the 5 who were wise to give them some of their oil. And they said that they don't have enough for all of us. Go to the shop and buy some yourself. So they went, and while they were gone, the bridegroom came. And they took the 5 who were wise, and the 5 foolish came back to the gate, and the door was locked. So they called, "Lord, Lord, come for us," or something like that. And then the Lord came. And no, he didn't come. He shouted, "Believe me, I do not know you." And if any of you want to read this story, it is found in Matthew 25. And I want to show you this piece of paper about the story. I'll show it to you through the camera like this, scrolling from the bottom to the top and then top to bottom so you can read it correctly. Now, top to bottom. didn't have extra oil. Sadly, we see that when the bridegroom arrived, the foolish bridesmaids didn't have enough oil. There wasn't enough time to go and buy oil, and so they couldn't go into the wedding party. This means that they should have been ready with extra oil before the bridegroom arrived. This helps us to understand that we too must be ready before Jesus returns. Otherwise, we will be left out. And all that means is the same for us. Like, we have to get ready for Jesus to come. And I also would like to say, like, step two that I said, I would like to turn to hymn number 213, Lift Up the Trumpets.
Thanks, right. Alex, for your part. And now I'm going to continue with this devotional with the second part. And firstly, Alex, that really was a very powerful, powerful parable. And thank you very much for sharing that. We've been looking at that all week about the different aspects of getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And no doubt you will notice all the sermons and all the devotionals are very much in line nowadays with getting ready for the coming of the Lord. Today, I'm going to be talking on a similar bit, but also trying to do a bit more encouraging in that. And I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and to turn with me to the book of Galatians. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to the book of Galatians. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to be reading from chapter 5, verses 25. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. And it says this. Paul is writing to the church of Galatia. Very important words, these. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. I'll read that again. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. God is interested in every part of our lives, not just the spiritual part. As we live by the Holy Spirit's power, we need to subject or to submit every aspect of our life to God. You got the emotional, the physical, the social, the intellectual, the vocational. Dear friends, it's because we are saved that Paul says that we should live by following the Spirit. What a thought. Because we are saved, we should live by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the source of your new life. Many of you have given your hearts to the Lord. Some people are getting that way. Some people are going to be listening to this message either on Facebook or through other medias or through the internet. But either way, the Holy Spirit is leading each one of us on a path. And it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the source of new life. So keep in step with His leading, not your leading, with His leading. And don't let anything or anyone else determine your values or standards in any area of your life. Tonight's thought is about the book of Galatians. If you haven't read the book of Galatians, it's only 6 chapters. You can do it in a single sitting. It'll take you maybe half an hour, maybe a bit more. I'd like to encourage you in the evening, just take your book, start chapter 1, Galatians chapter 5, and just read it and see the beauty, the gems that come out of this book. To commence, I'd like to ask you to use your imagination for a little while. Just imagine. Imagine a young family executing their carefully planned escape at midnight, dashing for the border, and they make it. Freedom is in their hearts and in their minds. They've escaped the turmoil that they've been going through. Imagine a man standing outside a prison, gulping fresh air, soaking up the sunlight with no more bars around him. He's done it. He's served his time. He's now free. No more bondage. Imagine a young man or a young woman bound by the chains of drugs and adult entertainment and all the things that go around that type of life, fighting through their addictions to merge on the other side, drug-free, clean, new and clean friendship circles. As they look back on their life, they realize that they are free. I can relate to that from a personal experience in my life. You know, friends, these people have merged out of oppression, danger, incarceration, sin, worldly chains, yet are now all free and anticipate the beginning of a new life. Friends, whether we are fleeing oppression or stepping out of prison or breaking the strangling habit, freedom means life. Freedom means living anew. And there's nothing more uplifting to know that the past is forgiven and forgotten, and that new life awaits you. The book of Galatians is what I call the freedom book. In this profound letter, Paul proclaims the reality of our freedom in Christ, freedom from the powers of sin, and freedom we get in serving our living God. Most of the first converts in the early and the early leaders of the church were Jewish Christians who proclaimed Jesus as their Messiah. And as Jewish Christians, they struggled with dual identity. First, their Jewish background compelled them to be strict and follow the law. And secondly, their newfound faith in Christ invited them to celebrate a holy liberty. Well, there you have now struggle. All their background was strict observance, holy liberty, and they often wondered about the Gentiles, that's the non-Jews, how would they ever be part of the kingdom of heaven? And this controversy sadly tore the early church apart. You got Jewish extremists taught that the Gentile Christians had to submit to the Jewish laws and traditions in addition to believing in Christ. And as a missionary, Paul had to confront this issue many times, and he did it, and he did it well. Galatians was written, therefore, to refute the Jewish extremists and to call the believers back to the pure gospel. The good news. The good news is for all people, you, me, and everyone alike. And there's people out there that haven't heard it yet, and they need to hear it. And that is our part to do. You see, friends, salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus and nothing else. Faith in Christ means true freedom. Let me ask you this question. When can we experience this freedom? When can we experience it? Well, the good news is, we can experience it right now. Right now. We can have this freedom now. But please, do not think that I'm going to be one of these speakers that preach or teach what people's itching ears want to hear, and that all's going to be well and all's going to be hunky-dory and all's going to be a bed of roses. Please allow me to make the point very clear that the freedom that we can experience now is really only inner peace. Freedom from being alone. Jesus is with you. He said, I'm with you always, even unto the very end. There are some people that are lonely. They haven't got a husband or a wife or someone in their life that they can share to, but they have Jesus. So we have that freedom of being alone. We have freedom from being lost. The thought of thinking, am I saved? Am I not? The Bible is very clear. For those that believe and truly wholeheartedly repent and turn back to God, we can have that blessed hope, as is written in the book of Titus, that we are going to be with the Lord. We have freedom from being lost. We have freedom from facing eternal death. He promises that those that believe in Him shall live forever. We'll have eternal life. We have, at the moment, freedom from the clutches of sin. If you step in, as what I read, and you let the Holy Spirit lead in your life, you can be free from sin. He will keep you and guide you. You see, friends, we have inner peace in all these aspects. But what about total peace, complete freedom? The freedom that we'll have when Jesus returns is complete. We'll have freedom, an inner peace and an outer peace. Freedom from tortures of sin, as well as freedom from the world's corruption. And there's a lot of that about. We can just see how things are going in the world, and I'm not going to be talking about that. But my dear friends, to get to the point of having this complete freedom, we will have to go through a period of physical trials. Now, some people get afraid of that. Well, we don't need to be afraid, because I've just said that with the leading of the Holy Spirit, you can have inner peace. Come what may, you can have the assurance that Jesus loves you and that He always will love you and that He loves you so much that He gave His whole life for you. I was just listening this morning, as I was driving my van to the book of Corinthians. I've got an audio Bible in my van. And Paul was saying about that if there's ever somebody that could talk about what he's been through, he's been lashed, stoned, beaten, left to die, shipwrecked. He was mentioning all these things. And I thought to myself, wow. Now, if there ever was a man who was faithful and letting the Spirit lead, it's the Apostle Paul. Yet he had tremendous trials, physical trials in his life. Yet he is an example of somebody who had inner peace. Once he was locked up in prison, they were chained, and I don't think the prisons were like these of today with a bed. They were probably stripped naked, chained to the floor, shackled, and yet he was singing hymns and praising God. You see, friends, that is having complete and inner peace. But when you have total complete peace, that's when Jesus is coming back. And that's when we will have peace from, or freedom from, all the inner problems that we have, and also the problems when I look out my window and I see this beautiful world. Yes, it's a beautiful world, but behind the scenes, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of things we've got to face. But we can have the complete peace. To obtain that peace, friends, we need to be looking forward and keeping our eye focused on the eternal goal, being with Jesus in heaven. That's the time I'm looking forward to. Friends, Apostle Paul concludes in his book of Galatians. And take with me your Bible, please. And I'm going to read just a few verses right at the very last, chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 14 through to 16. And this is what Paul says to the people when he's talking about the freedom. He gives the final concluding, the antidote, the culminating factor to have complete and confident freedom and peace. This is what he writes. And I'll tell you, friends, this is what we need to take on board. He says in verse 14, chapter 6, verse 14, "As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." You see how he references Jesus, Jesus' ministry, what Jesus did, what he did for us. It was through that cross that Jesus died to pay the price for you and for me. He says, "May I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in the world has been crucified. You see how he allowed the Holy Spirit to impact his life through the life and the ministry of Jesus. That great and wonderful act of love on the cross impacted his life. He says, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. How wonderful. And then it says, and this is the key verse, friends. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. That was going back to the traditions. What counts, friends, listen to this carefully. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Doesn't matter about this or that or this. It matters whether your heart has been transformed into a new creation, because once that has been transformed, then you can have the total inner peace and the 100% confidence that when Jesus comes back, we will experience the complete freedom, the complete peace of knowing that we've made it through the trials and we are going to be with our Heavenly Father forever and eternity. And he says in verse 16, may the God of peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Do you hear that? God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. The principle being, you need to be transformed into a new creation. You need to be like the five, that group, that five virgins that had extra oil. That oil is the Holy Spirit. And Alex said they were the ones that went into the wedding party because they had extra oil. They were ready. They had been prepared before they even came drowsy. They were ready right from the start. You had the 10 groups, the 10 people going forward. From all aspects, they looked ready. They all had lamps burning. They were all waiting for Jesus to return. Yet five of them were not transformed into a new creation because they didn't have the extra oil. They had a superficial time, a superficial relationship with the Lord. And friends, we need to take this very seriously, that we need to be transformed into a new creation. There's no point in adopting a Christian persona and thinking that I go to church, I read my Bible, I say my prayers. What counts is whether you have been transformed into a new creation. Friends, we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead in our lives in every aspect. I want to share with you just one little story. I don't know if you can see that, the book, Great Stories, lovely little stories. And I'm going to share with you now just a glimpse, because Jesus says, the eye hath not seen nor the ear heard what's in store for those that love him. And I've said this many times before, that the most powerful thing, you can call it, the most powerful thing on earth is the human imagination. That is the root of everything that we have. Vehicles, technology, everything stems from the human imagination. You dream up something and then you pursue to get it. Yet Jesus says, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that he has in store. So we can't even imagine how wonderful it is going to be in heaven. Allow me to read this little story for you and give you a glimpse and see how wonderful it's going to be, how peaceful it's going to be, the freedom. Listen to this. A mother lioness in a Seattle zoo killed her newborn cubs, all but one. The little cub was rescued and given to a friend of a zoo to raise. He was a butcher and thought it would be simple to feed this lion because I can feed it with scraps from my butcher's shop. But amazing as it sounds, the lion, which he named Little Tyke, would not touch meat. From the first to the last of its life, Little Tyke was a vegetarian. She was so peaceful and gentle. Her owner trained her and would often display her in public gatherings. On stage, before a live audience, a couch would be placed on the platform. From the wings, a live lamb would be carried and placed on the couch. Then, without bars, chains, or leash, there came in a large, fully grown lion. She would take one look at the audience, and everyone would gasp and realize that there were no restraints. The lion could have run right into the audience, and what a stir of panic that would have caused. She would sniff the air, catch sight of the lamb, and run straight to the helpless lamb on the couch and jump up with it. When she lay down beside the lamb, her paws cuddled it. The audience obviously breathed a sigh of relief. Oh, friends, God is preparing a real place for real people. Think of it. The time will come when all that destroys will be changed. God will make a new heaven and a new earth. God has revealed all the wonderful incentives that tell us. He wants you and me there with him. The question is, do you want to be there with him? Jesus said, "I go and prepare a place for you." Don't you long for that day? Don't you want to be with your Savior, who at such great personal expense has made it possible for you to be there? Will you say, "Lord, yes, Lord, I desire to be with you." Will you lift your hand now to heaven and say, "Lord, yes, I want to be with you"? Dear friends, this is the conclusion of the devotional this Friday evening. And after the hymn of
bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord. Holy name, sing like this. end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years.